BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. We've got a number of stories and issues that we would like to bring to your attention. And certainly there is much that is going on in this world around us. To understand, friends, things are coming to a head very, very quickly. When we examine the chaos that is taking place at our nation's borders right now, as we consider what's taking place with communist China and also the war upon Israel at this time, and we see the collapse taking place of our own systems, and we cannot even define what boy or girl is in our nation anymore. Some of the things going on in our nation's classrooms, friends, it is absolutely horrible as to what's going on. And we know that the only answer for all of this is Jesus Christ, and it's imperative that we make him known to this world in which we live. We're going to begin with a number of issues here today. First of all, from the New York Post, the House GOP voted to boost border security by finishing the wall and hiring thousands of agents. They passed this yesterday to have this border wall as the Title 42 health policies were coming to an end. They voted 219 to 213 to approve the Secure the Border Act that was introduced earlier this month to address a crisis Republicans say will only grow worse with the end of the rule that allowed for the rapid removal of migrants. This is from the New York Post. Only two Republicans voted against this, Tom Massey of Kentucky, John Durant, Durardi of California. No Democrats supported it. The bill unlikely to pass the Senate, though. President Biden expected to veto it if it does reach his desk. The bill does ask the Department of Homeland Security to resume building a border wall. Begun under the Trump administration, also authorizes the agency to hire some 22,000 Border Patrol agents. But I guess the Biden administration can't do that. They're too busy hiring for the IRS agents, armed agents. One American News Network reports Florida Attorney General sues the Biden administration to stop mass release of migrants. According to Fox News, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody has filed for a temporary restraining order to stop the mass release of migrants into the U.S. along the southern border. Border Patrol agents have been making more daily apprehensions than been recorded ever. Monday and Tuesday, agents along the border apprehended more than 10,000 migrants daily, followed by another 10,000 apprehensions on Wednesday. One American News Network also reporting that prior to the termination of Title 42, the public health order, Governor Abbott of Texas created a new Texas Tactical Border Force on Monday. According to the Biden administration itself, they anticipate about 13,000 people coming across the border illegally every single day. If you extend that out over a couple course of a year, it means it will be about 4,700,000 people coming across the border a year. That would mean that it will be more people coming across the border illegally than are residents of the massive city of Chicago. The Republicans announced that in response to Joe Biden's reckless border policies, the Texas National Guard would be loading Black Hawk helicopters and C-130s to deploy specially trained National Guard members to hotspots along the border to intercept, to repel, and to bring back migrants who are trying to enter Texas illegally. The Texas National Guard stated in a statement that it activated 545 extra military members at various sites around the state on Monday. National Review is reporting less than a day after Mayor Eric Adams announced his plan for New York City to relocate illegal immigrants to hotels in Rockland and Orange counties. Elected officials in both areas have rejected the idea, declared a state of emergency in response. It felt like they are trying to do a Friday night drop, Orange Town Regional Supervisor Teresa Kenney told the New York Times. I feel like the mayor called me to check a box so he couldn't be criticized for not talking to us, the administrator added. A similar note was struck by Ed Day, a Rockland County executive, adding that he was stunned by Adams' announcement. Whatever we need to do to stop this, we will, he told the Times on Sunday. They're basically dumping them into a county where we're not prepared for this. And they even stipulated that Rockland County was prepared to issue $1,000 fines for any hotels that accepted migrants attached to the mayor's program. And let's see, Fox News is reporting that Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, declared a state disaster emergency late Tuesday ahead of the expiration of Title 42. This allows New York to mobilize some 500 members of the National Guard that are currently providing logistical and operational support at New York City's Port Authority bus terminal and shelter sites, bringing the total mobilization to about 1,500 service members. And friends, also from the center square, we have as Illinois continues to welcome migrants from the Mexican border, officials are now scrambling to find the resources to care for them. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot issued an emergency proclamation Tuesday in response to the influx of migrants. Yes, of course, we're a welcoming city. We always do what's right by our immigrant and refugee communities, but we have reached a breaking point in our response to this humanitarian crisis, Lightfoot said during a Tuesday news conference. Her declaration grants the mayor the ability to request assistance from the Illinois National Guard. Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott and El Paso Mayor Oscar Leeser have been busing migrants to Chicago and other cities since last year to protest the Biden administration's handling of the border. Since August of last year, Chicago has seen more than 8,000 migrants bus to the city. FoxNews.com tells us the Department of Homeland Security released a statement at midnight Thursday as Title 42 was expiring. And the border is not open, says the DHS Secretary Mayorkas. Starting tonight, people who arrive at the border without using a lawful pathway will be presumed ineligible for asylum. He added, we have 24,000 Border Patrol agents and officers at the southwest border, and we have surged thousands of troops and contractors, over 1,000 asylum officers to help enforce our laws. Do not believe the lies of smugglers, he says. Well, what about the invitation map that's really come out from the Biden administration in all of this? Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk and News Roundup Day. And we also have here from the American Military News, a federal judge in Florida temporarily blocked the Biden administration from releasing illegal immigrants into the U.S. without court dates as the nation braces for a surge of illegal border crossings triggered by the expiration of Title 42. District Judge T. Kent Witherell II issued a temporary restraining order that went into effect Thursday, will remain in effect for 2 weeks. All kinds of chaos is breaking forth in this border issue, friends, and it's going to get worse. Daily Caller is reporting a key office under the New York City Mayor Adams sent an email to a select group of private property owners pleading for emergency space to house migrants coming to the city as a key Trump-era border policy is set to come to an end, the Daily Caller reported. We need your help, begins the email sent on May 9th. He said also he's going on asking contractors to please evaluate your inventory. Both spaces you own as well as other areas you have, let us know if you have anything available for a potential use as soon as possible. The email specifies the criteria to be offered, and they're worried that if they open up the space, yes, even property owners, private property owners, that if they open up the space, that they're not going to get it back. The city has been spending $8 million a day on housing migrants who number over 36,500 people, according to the email, but saying they're never going to leave. That's what a security official said at the Roosevelt Hotel told the New York Post. We also have coming to us from the Daily Caller that the DHS Secretary Mayorkas called the busing of migrants to Vice President Kamala Harris's house in D.C. a sad and tragic day. A group of 50 migrants arrived at her home last night, or Wednesday night, KHQA reported. Another bus of migrants from Texas arrived at the Naval Observatory Thursday morning under the authority of Abbott. And Mayorkas said this, quote, it's a both sad and tragic day when a government official uses migrants as a pawn for political purposes. Folks, what has he been doing himself? This whole issue has been a pawn for political purposes under the Biden administration, and now he's criticizing the shipping of those. And by the way, isn't these areas supposed to be sanctuary areas, welcoming areas for those who are migrants who are, yes, even here illegally? And then when they do come to these areas, they say, no, this is wrong. This is you're just dropping. It's a sad, it's a horrible day because you're using this as political pawns. Jihad Watch says on April 17th, the L.A. City Council voted unanimously to pay a dangerous Islamic terrorist organization to provide legal representation to immigrants facing deportation. The Council on American Islamic Relations has a history of defending high-risk Muslim immigrants involved in terrorism-related offenses. Well, with the mayor's approval, CARES LA chapter will soon receive portions of a $4 million grant to represent detailed and non-detained, that would be detained and non-detained migrants in removal proceedings. We also have here a story from Pamela Geller after Speaker McCarthy canceled Rashida Tlaib's Nakba Day event in Congress. Senator Bernie Sanders stepped up to the plate and decided to hold the event in the Senate under Chuck Schumer's approval, taking place in the committee room where Senator Sanders chairs. Senator Schumer's decision to allow him to host Rashida Tlaib, her anti-Semitic event, is disgusting, were the tweets that were going out. Rick Scott said the left is showing Americans very clearly they do not care about Israel. Jihad Watch reporting that Islamic jihadists are sending nearly 400 rockets into Israel, hit an apartment building, one dead, five injured there. The Israeli military has killed two Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders in airstrikes in Gaza during a third day of fighting with militants there. A pre-dawn attack on an apartment building killed the head of PIJ's rocket launching force and two others who the military said were militants. In the afternoon, his deputy was killed in a strike in a nearby town. There have been hundreds of rockets fired against Israel. USA Today reports that the U.S. ambassador to South Africa accused the country Thursday of providing weapons to Russia via a cargo ship that docked secretly at a naval base near the city of Cape Town for 3 days in December. The South African president said an investigation is underway. American military news telling us a U.S. citizen from Boston was arrested Tuesday, charged with working as an agent of a foreign government, the Chinese Communist Party, without notifying the U.S. Attorney General as required by law. The individual is accused of working as an agent for the People's Republic of China since or around 2018, continued to work for the foreign government through at least 2022. He has been secretly working with the CCP to compile a blacklist of Chinese people and organizations who participated in protests supporting pro-democracy dissidents in China. That is according to the Boston Globe. From AP News, King Charles III crowned Saturday at the Westminster Abbey in a ceremony steeped in ancient ritual. Charles was given an orb, a sword, a scepter, had a golden, solid gold bejeweled St. Edward's crown placed on his head as he sat upon the 700-year-old oak chair. In front of world leaders, foreign royals and dignitaries and a smattering of stars, he declared, "I'm not come to be served, but to serve." And also, this was the first time we understand that people of all faiths and beliefs came together. There was Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh faith, as well as the first in which a female clergy took part. We'll have more in our news roundup right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Fastogenesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. We try to do that on Fridays as much as possible, just keeping you abreast of many stories that are going on. and certainly to help us understand the perilous times in which we live, and certainly the need for us as believers in Jesus Christ to be salt and light in this world. Friends, it's the big issue is not who occupies the White House, it's who occupies your heart. And it is imperative for each one to come to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we trust that you have made such a decision in your own life. But we understand the times in which we live are troublesome times, perilous times, hard to bear times, and friends, it's going to get worse, and we need to make sure that we're clinging to the solid rock. AP News reporting about a death toll from floods in eastern Congo almost doubled, reaching close to 400 people as of Sunday, according to a local official. Let's see, American Military News reporting that saying China posed a threat to Floridians. Governor DeSantis Monday signed three bills targeting Chinese influence in Florida schools, universities, and agriculture. It was at a news conference. He signed legislation that would ban the use of TikTok and other Chinese apps on school and government servers, limit land purchases by Chinese citizens, and prohibit universities from accepting funding from China. Okay, let's see. Just the news reporting critics are sounding the alarm that a new federal office to shield U.S. public opinion from purported threats of foreign disinformation is a thinly veiled reboot under a new name of the Disinformation Governance Board. You know, before we knew it as a Ministry of Truth, well, now housed in the office of the Director of National Intelligence, the new Foreign Malign Influence Office was launched with little public notice because it's already provoking fears that it will be that its use overstated foreign threats as a pretext to interfere in domestic political debate or will duplicate other federal efforts. Though its name starts with foreign, FMIC's congressionally determined objective includes protecting American public opinion, suggesting the potential for policing domestic narratives. Well, this week, President Biden met earlier with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other congressional leaders to discuss raising the debt ceiling after it had been 97 days since he and the Speaker met. Well, following their meeting, McCarthy gave remarks to warn everybody in this meeting that reiterated their positions, where things were at. He didn't see any movement. Later that evening, he mentioned, "I didn't find any progress in the meeting." Here's a statement from Kevin McCarthy.
97 days ago, I went to meet with the president on February 1st. I sat with him and I asked him, could we sit together, negotiate a responsible, sensible agreement that can raise the debt limit and put us on a path to get our spending under control that has been harming the American families? He told me at that meeting and he tweeted later that he agreed that we would meet. I saw him the very next day at the prayer breakfast. He said we would meet. He told the members there we were going to meet. He then apparently must have changed his mind. For 97 days, he denied our ability to meet together. I wanted to work out a negotiation, an agreement that we could do something bipartisan, that we would not be at this moment today about the debt ceiling. But because they refused, we went on our own and we put a bill together, as you remember watching. I tried to find ideas that Democrats had proposed. Joe Manchin had proposed capping spending going into the future at 1% growth. We put that in. The president and the senator had voted for work requirements in Wisconsin just a couple months ago. They passed by 82%. We looked at common sense ideas like pulling back the COVID money that wasn't spent, especially after the president had signed the bill that the pandemic was over. Even the World Health Organization has now announced the pandemic is over. We looked at places for growth, that we could cut red tape so we can build things in America again. And we raised the debt ceiling. The Senate has not. And we sent it to the Senate. What's so remarkable is, in this presidency, with this new Congress, this is the very first time he has sat down with all four leaders. Of all the challenges that we have in America, with Title 42 being lifted and the border unsecure, with three of the four largest banks' failures happening in the last few months because of inflation and the rise of the interest rates with the Democrats spending too much, we never met. We only met today because the House did the responsible thing and raised the debt ceiling, put growth, and gave us savings. Unfortunately, in this meeting, I heard nothing new. I literally asked the president personally, Do you believe there's any place in government we could find savings? I know they said things that were not true about how we would move forward. And I had to explain to the president, the only thing we're asking is that next year we spend the same amount of money that we spent 5 months ago. And we let appropriators decide how we dole up that money, just like every other household. I didn't find progress in this meeting. Staff will continue to meet, and we'll get back together on Friday, and hopefully the president then can change the path for the last 97 days.
Well, the issue is, though, they're not going to get together back on Friday. That was Kevin McCarthy, by the way, Speaker of the House, because that meeting was postponed today on the debt ceiling negotiations. Now, we're told this is going to be a crisis here for the nation unless we do this. And Kevin McCarthy, through the vote of the U.S. House, is seeking to curb that spending taking place in tandem with the expanding the debt ceiling. But we understand that meeting has been put off now to sometime early next week, according to the White House. The Daily Caller indicating that the Biden family attempted to hide more than $10 million in payments from foreign nationals through a web of privately held companies. That's the statement from the House Oversight and Government Accountability Committee Chair James Comer. Said that Wednesday at a press conference. He said while Vice President Biden was lecturing Romania on anti-corruption policies, in reality, he was a walking billboard for his son and family to collect money. Hunter Biden and his associates capitalized on a lucrative financial relationship with a Romanian national who was under investigation for and later convicted of corruption in Romania. The Bidens received over $1 million for the deal and 16 of the 17 payments to the associates' account that funneled the Bidens' money occurred while Joe Biden was vice president. In fact, the money stops flowing from the Romanian national soon after Joe Biden left the vice presidency, and Comer said this is a pattern of influence peddling. Also, the Daily Caller is reporting the FBI refused to provide Congress with an informant file allegedly exposing bribes that President Joe Biden took while serving as vice president, the New York Post reports. It is clear from the FBI's response that the unclassified record that the Oversight Committee subpoenaed exists, but they're refusing to provide it to the committee, Comer told the New York Post. The Daily Signal reporting impeachment is the only recourse if a government whistleblower's allegation that President Biden was part of a bribery scheme is true, said Congressman Gary Palmer. He's chair of the Republican Policy Committee. He said you can't prosecute a sitting president for crime, so the only recourse if this document exists, and we believe it does, is for the House to bring articles of impeachment, he told the Daily Signal in a phone interview last Friday. Well, the House Oversight and Accountability Committee subpoenaed documents from the FBI. They called the document FD-1023. Was created or modified in June of 2020, but they said, Palmer said, we have tremendous confidence in this whistleblower. It's an American who stepped up at personal risk to expose how dangerous this is for our country. Also from townhall.com, the House Oversight Committee is out with a new report detailing how the CIA may have directly helped President Joe Biden win the 2020 presidential election by helping to recruit signatures for the now infamous letter that was signed by 51 former intelligence officials calling Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop Russian disinformation. The committees have evidence that an employee affiliated with the CIA may have assisted in obtaining the signatories for the statement. The Federalist is reporting, following the lead of other Republican-led states, Virginia announced on Thursday it would be withdrawing from the leftist-controlled voter roll management group known as ERIC. That is the system that many states are using, the Electronic Registration Information Center. In a letter obtained by the Virginia Mercury, Virginia's Elections Commissioner Susan Beals informed the Electronic Registration Information Center that the Commonwealth will no longer be a participant in the program, citing concerns about the confidentiality of voter information and controversy surrounding the historical sharing of data with outside organizations leveraged for political purposes. Tom DeWeese had been on Crosstalk, a full program on that topic of ERIC, this electronic registration system. Okay, Epoch Times is reporting the former President Donald Trump yesterday appealed the Manhattan jury's verdict in the civil case that he had sexually abused and defamed the advice writer E. Jean Carroll. His appeal was the latest update in the legal clash between him and Carroll. It came just 2 days after a jury in Manhattan found him that he did not rape Carroll, but instead sexually abused her, committing a battery offense, and in his denial of the incident, committed libel, a type of defamation in written words. The jury awarded Carroll $5 million in damages, and former President Trump says, not so. I don't even know this person, and he has appealed this decision. Epoch Times reporting efforts to overturn vaccine mandates for both hospital patients and healthcare workers appear to be gaining momentum across the U.S. It's seen as a major victory for transplant patients who did not take the COVID vaccine. One of the largest transplant centers in the U.S. has now reversed its policy to require the jab in order to be eligible for an organ transplant. University of Michigan announced its new policy May 4th, just before court proceedings were about to get underway in a lawsuit that was filed against it. Unbelievable. You know, people getting kidney transplants or other organ transplants that were denied organ transplants because of not having the jab, which would have been detrimental to many of them. National Review is reporting the National Institutes of Health has renewed a grant to EcoHealth Alliance for research on the risk of bat coronavirus spillover emergence, despite multiple agencies of the U.S. government embracing the lab leak theory of COVID's origin. From the Daily Signal, 15 Republicans in the U.S. House and Senate sent a letter to the National Institutes of Health Tuesday demanding answers about a study on experimental medical interventions for youth who claim to identify as transgender. Two of the study participants committed suicide. 11 experienced suicidal ideation, and the drugs participants took will likely sterilize them, the Republicans noted. It is sickening that the federal government is preying on young people and using our taxpayer dollars to advance its radical gender ideology, said Congressman Josh Brasheen of Oklahoma. He said the National Institutes of Health granted some $477,000-plus in a five-year grant to the Boston Children's Hospital, University of California at San Francisco, and the Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago for the study called Psychosocial Functioning in Transgender Youth After 2 Years of Hormones. The study analyzed some 315 participants identified as transgender and non-binary between the ages of 12 and 20 over the course of 2 years. These participants received gender-affirming hormones. Well, in the letter, the Republicans expressed grave concerns about the study, noting that 240 of the 315 participants were minors. And again, two of the study participants committed suicide. 11 had experienced suicidal ideation. Friends, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We'll be back with more stories in our news roundup, and we'll have opportunity for you to call in as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Baker Lifeson here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
It's an News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in. And, friends, we understand in all these things that are taking place that what God has ordained is going to come to pass. So, friends, we don't live in fear. We live in trust. We live certainly with that certain hope. We know that God is in control, and we understand that He sets up, He takes down. He has promised to bless those who bless Him, to curse those who curse Him. We saw that against His guidance to and commands to the nation of Israel. We see that happen throughout Scripture as well. And, friends, we are seeing the fruits of depravity taking place before our very eyes. Some more stories here before we open phone lines. From LifeSiteNews.com, Canada's Liberal Party, under the leadership of Justin Trudeau, officially added support for mandatory COVID-19 vaccination to its platform after members voted in favor of it at their Liberal National Convention that took place May 4th through the 6th in Ottawa. The mandate would force all travelers on interprovincial trains, commercial flights, cruise ships, and other federally regulated vessels be COVID-jabbed. It would also mandate COVID injections for federal employees. The new platform promises a re-elected Liberal government will launch a $1 billion COVID-19 proof of vaccination fund to support provinces and territories who implement a requirement for proof of vaccine credentials in their jurisdiction for non-essential businesses and public spaces, and also table legislation to ensure that every business and organization that requires a proof of vaccination from employees and customers can do so without fear of legal challenge. WND.com tells us about Chelsea Clinton, yes, the daughter of Bill and Hillary. A report of the Children's Health Defense explains how Clinton, who attended the long list of elite schools, taking a master's degree in public health from Columbia, is pushing her agenda. Multiple shots for every child. She's working with the World Health Organization and the Gates Foundation on the project. It's called Big Catch-Up Initiative, and WHO said it's a targeted global effort to boost vaccination among children. Remember the clips from Bill Gates? We're going to, you know, save lives and reduce the population through their vaccination programs. Think about it. Let's go next to Christian Newswire. Wednesday, a panel of so-called expert advisors voted to recommend that the FDA allow the birth control drug Opill to be sold over-the-counter without a prescription. The FDA is expected to approve the over-the-counter sale of Opill this summer, even after FDA reviewers expressed concerns about the lack of adequate safety studies. A panel of 17 advisors, expert advisors, reviewed a 130-page briefing document provided by the FDA reviewers and recommended Opill for over-the-counter sales. The briefing document cites numerous concerns about the safety of the drug, as well as concerns about the ability of women, especially young girls, to know when the drug could cause dangerous, even deadly complications. LifeNews.com says since 1992, the VA has been statutorily prohibited from using taxpayer dollars for abortion. But on September 9th, 2022, the Biden administration Department of Veterans Affairs disregarded this longstanding statutory prohibition on taxpayer funding for abortion at the VA, issued a new rule that includes abortion funding for health reasons. The undefined reference to health reasons, like in Doe v. Bolton, that abortions can now be done at the VA for virtually any reason. Well, the Tommy Tuberville, senator, has been leading the charge here, has been attempting to fight back. He's been requesting documents. He's continuing to get stonewalled. He said, as of today, I still have not received answers to my questions. But the headline from LifeNews.com, Joe Biden is illegally funding abortions up to birth for any reason at VA clinics. From LifeNews.com, a pro-abortion bill on its way to Governor Pritzker's desk could shut down pro-life pregnancy centers across the state and deny mothers and babies critical life-saving services. Illinois House lawmakers gave final approval to what they're calling the Deceptive Practices of Limited Services Pregnancy Centers Act. A 72-40 vote on Wednesday, the bill now heads to the governor expected to sign it. The bill singles out pro-life pregnancy resource centers placing a target on their backs and violating their right to free speech, says Mary Kate Zander, executive director of Illinois Right to Life, adding, please continue to pray for our legislators. Coming from LifeNews.com, the FBI offering a $15,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the abortion advocates responsible for attacking a pregnancy center twice last year. Jane's Revenge took credit in the week leading up to the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Jane's Revenge bragged about vandalizing Agape Pregnancy Resource Center in Des Moines, Iowa on June the 2nd. And according to a June 9th post on Twitter, the group admitted to the crime. FBI now offering a $15,000 reward. What is it now, 11 months later? Liberty Counsel telling us several groups have filed to get a proposed pro-abortion amendment on the 2024 ballot to amend the Florida Constitution. Groups include the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, Florida Rising, Women's Voices of Southwest Florida. The proposed amendment to limit government interference with abortions, must have at least 891,523 valid petition signatures filed with the state by February 1st of 2024. The Florida Supreme Court must also approve that the proposed ballot amendment complies with the single subject rule and that it's not confusing. From LiveAction.org, in August of 2022, Dr. Kumar, the medical director of primary and trans care at Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, told NPR that more than half of all Planned Parenthood health centers offer medicalization for transgender identifying individuals, including cross-sex hormones and injections. They reported over 35,000 of Planned Parenthood's patients nationwide saw gender-affirming hormone replacement therapy in 2021, and that number does not include trans and non-binary people who relied on other services. Live Action News has estimated between 2014 and 2019, Planned Parenthood saw a 669% increase from 26 centers to 200 centers. Hats off to the Oklahoma governor. Stitt has strong words for critics after he vetoed a bill last week that would have funded operations of the state's PBS station, Oklahoma Education Television Authority, through 2026, accusing the station of indoctrinating young people. He said it's an outdated system. You know, that big question, why are we spending taxpayer dollars to prop up or compete with the private sector and run television stations? And then when you go through all the programming that's happening and the indoctrination and over-sexualization of children, it's really problematic, he said. It doesn't line up with Oklahoma values. Daily Mail reporting shoppers being urged to boycott Target stores in response to their Pride collection. Folks, this is unbelievable. Target stores, a Pride collection for children. One activist group accusing the retailer of indoctrinating and grooming young people, calling it highly inappropriate and disturbing. Target has supported Pride celebrated through the month of June every year since 2013, but this year's collection features a range of clothes and home goods, including lime green adult romper suits with the word gay on the back, a live, laugh lesbian t-shirt, and a mug emblazoned with the words gender fluid. It was a collection for children, however, that's sparking anger as the children's collection of trans clothing is on the increase at the Target stores. The Minneapolis-based company is selling T-shirts for children with the slogan, trans people will always exist. Even rainbow-striped tutus for toddlers and baby girls that read, being proud. You see these little rompers for newborn children, for little infants of LGBT clothing. And Target stores moving this merchandise. And, folks, we're going to see this all over the place coming up, so-called Pride Month. Todd Starnes reporting sixth graders at Wellington Middle School in Colorado supposed to be going to art class. It turned out to be a private gender and sexuality awareness club. The art teacher invited in an outside presenter to the classroom that day, and this woman did absolutely unthinkable things with the kids. They were given instruction on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. Youngsters were also told that if they were not fully comfortable with being a boy or a girl, that they were transgender. And for those uncertain about their sex, they could identify as queer. But worst of all, folks, the children were told that their parents may not be safe people to turn to for conversations about sex, reports Todd Starnes, and also telling us that a retired U.S. Navy officer has come out in defense of the Navy's use of a drag queen influencer in recruitment, saying the move should be applauded, saying that this is going on in other branches of government as well. Well, American Military News says a group of Republican senators have introduced legislation to stop Joe Biden's Defense Department from hosting drag queen performances with taxpayer funds on or in taxpayer-funded facilities. So hats off to these legislators that are trying to block this from taking place. Just the News is reporting the day after the Missouri legislature passed a bill banning gender-fluid transition surgeries for minors and a moratorium on prescribing medication for transitions. The state's largest city, this is Kansas City, Missouri, passed a resolution becoming a sanctuary for those seeking the services. The ordinance declares Kansas City a safe haven for gender-affirming health care through the adoption of a gender-affirming health care policy introduced by Democratic Mayor Quinton Lucas. It passed Thursday on a vote of 11-1. 11-1. A troubling story at the New American. Critics say government educators and the sex ed fanatics have some serious explaining to do after a six-year-old girl at a government school in Texas forced to perform sex on a boy in a first grade class. Classmates filmed the crime April 19th, even as a teacher was in the room, according to news reports. The horrific event at South Elementary first came to the attention of parents after a video of this act was found on a district-issued device. From there, despite officials' efforts to cover it up, word spread rapidly as parents and members of the community began protesting, demanding answers from officials online and outside the school. Unbelievable as to what's taking place. A quote here from one mother was quoted to anyone who is a student at Plainview Independent School District. Your children are not safe. Sexual abuse is happening. Parents aren't being notified, specifically at South Elementary. An online post by a concerned parent explained, I highly urge you to sit down, talk with your child, find out if anything is happening to them. Troubling information indeed. And friends in California, they've launched a new hotline for residents to report hate acts. Last Thursday, Governor Newsom and the California Civil Rights Department announced the launch of California versus Hate. Through a hotline, Californians will be able to snitch on their neighbors for committing hate crimes, which the service states do not always include violence. A hate incident is a hostile expression or action that may be motivated by bias against another person's actual or perceived identity, the website states. Some examples of hate incidents, according to the website, are refusing service, derogatory name-calling, and, so-called bullying. And in Illinois, folks, while other states are working to remove pornographic content from public schools and children's library access, Illinois is moving in the opposite direction with a new law that would penalize schools for not allowing children unfettered access to these materials. Unbelievable. That's happening in the state of Illinois. Friends, I've got more stories, but I'd like to open phone lines today for your comments on these or other current event stories. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Worldviewreport.com. Is America headed for a great divorce or a great divide? Indeed, America is divided. And a house that is divided cannot stand. We seem to have a massive worldview war going on, one we've known about for years, but it's even gotten weirder. States passing legislation to allow for the, quote, legal kidnapping, end quote, of children from parents to have sex change operations and abortions. Parents can find themselves losing their minor children if they tell a school official their parent is not being cooperative or in agreement and supportive of their transitioning. They may not find their child coming through the door after school, but having been placed by the state in a LGBTQ-friendly facility to facilitate such a change. Other states are working fast to stop this and making laws to stop it. A great divide is underway.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, and it's amazing what's happening. And down to Tucson, there's an Arizona school board that filed a report with the FBI over alleged threats after the district halted families from criticizing a policy allowing transgender students in the locker room of their choice. It's the Catalina Foothills School District filed a report with the FBI. Amazing, folks. They've been at odds with parents for months after it was revealed that the district had this unwritten policy allowing students who identified as transgenders to use the locker room or bathroom of their preference, while students who are not comfortable with the policy are forced to request to use separate facilities. And so parents have been objecting. The school district files a report with the FBI over alleged threats after parents criticized the transgender locker room policy, reports the Daily Caller. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Alice calling in from Centerton, Arkansas. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a degree in elementary education, and my heart is just breaking for what you have told me about the terrible atrocities against children. It's just awful. What I taught in public school wasn't real long, but I taught second grade. And I know, just one little girl, I'm sure she looked at me just like I was a mother. It was a blessed privilege to be able to teach these children. And even in the lunchroom, I could bow my head and pray over my food. It's just heartbreaking. And because the Bible said we're to train up a child in the way they should go. And the fathers are to nurture children and the admonition of the Lord, and the schools are just ruining our children. It's heartbreaking. May God have mercy.
Thank you,
Alice.
Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. And it's horrendous to see what is going on in so many a classroom here across this nation, and children that are being indoctrinated, sometimes being forced into believing that they are transgender. Indy is calling from Columbus, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm quite concerned with the churches, Catholic Church. Some of the bishops are now wearing the rainbow flags for the LGBTQ, and they're talking of taking God and making God trans. And I am just, I don't know what our country's coming to. It's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. The fall of Babel. We need all this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And a matter of fact, the story on FaithWire is telling about a display at the Church of St. Paul the Apostle, that this is a Catholic church in New York City, and they actually have a display titled God is Trans, A Queer Spiritual Journey.
Yep. And this is what they talk about in the Bible. We're seeing all the warning signs, and our country needs to come together and pray.
Thank you for the call here today. Now, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God gave them over, we see. Read Romans 1. Let's go to a caller from Wisconsin. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to, if there's any pastors or spiritual leaders, Christian leaders listening to this program, I'd like some feedback, if I can, sometime. But, you know, a lot of this information we're getting today, I would say the majority, vast majority of people in my church circle don't even know about this. And is this something that pastors should be addressing from the pulpit, or should they just be preaching Jesus? But I don't even hear anything about prophecy, prophetic things happening in this country, in this world, even from the pulpit. So I'd just like some feedback. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, we need to preach the word, okay? All of these things that we're talking about, these are biblical issues. I mean, what we talk about here pertaining to life, what we talk about LGBT, these are biblical issues. So we can go to the Word of God and see what it says about God creating man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. So, yes, we can preach this, and certainly we need to uphold the full authority of God's word from cover to cover. And in regard to Bible prophecy, oh my, a good percentage of the Bible is prophecy. Pastor Richard Schmidt has been with us here on the program, and indeed we need to preach the full counsel of God. That includes the message of salvation. It also includes reproving the works of darkness. Thanks for the call. Neil is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about the upcoming UN meeting and there's talk of their voting on the WHO to have more rights over pandemics.
Yes.
There was some talk of some kind of QR code, and I was wondering if you could comment on that. And I'm getting ready to kind of go over this with my kids. I'm wondering, because they're probably going to ask me, well, what if somebody doesn't have a cell phone? Kind of wondering what might come out of this whole UN meeting regarding that.
Okay, well, what's going to come out is the push for nations across this world to sign on to this pandemic treaty, though they're not calling it a treaty, because if they use that word, then it's got to go before the U.S. Senate. But indeed, this would give a power, authority to the World Health Organization to call all the shots as it relates to healthcare or how to respond to any kind of pandemic or healthcare emergency, would give them the ability to give all the directions on this. Now, the World Health Organization has indeed laid out the groundwork for forced, you know, vaccination or isolation or any number of things. What I best could serve you by having you listen to the interview we just did last week, May the 2nd, with Michelle Bachmann, and we went into full detail about this dangerous world pandemic treaty. She even talked about QR codes and so forth, but I would encourage you to go back and listen. We did a full hour on this with her. We also did one with Matt Staver of Liberty Council just shortly before that as well. But May 2nd, if you look at the Crosstalk program, it would be vitally important to give a listen to it. Dangerous World Pandemic Treaty draws nigh. We get much more into information there, but we're just about out of time. We're going to squeeze in Judy in Newark, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to call about the widespread use of the abortion pill.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a caller several months ago ask what happens to the remains of these children, and your caller said that a lot, or your interviewer said that a lot of times they're just flushed in the toilet. And I think that we should have a great concern for those body remains going into the public water supply.
Indeed, we should have concerns over the little tiny infants being washed into our sewer system, and that is a great point and needs to come forth as well. We're out of time here on the program. Folks, it's Friday. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this Lord's Day.
You're listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.